Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
We're back. And here, we're going to listen to a hear from a real lady. A real lady, Christy Noem. Go ahead and bring her up.
In regards to MAHA, and the Supreme Court just handed President Trump another win.
Well, breaking moments ago, Homeland Security Secretary Christy Noem ordering DHS to terminate Harvard University's Student and Exchange Visitor Program certification. This means that Harvard can no longer enroll foreign students, and existing foreign students must transfer or lose their legal status. In a statement, Noem said, quote, "This administration is holding Harvard accountable for fostering violence, anti-Semitism, and coordinating with the Chinese Communist Party on its campus's foreign national count for nearly 30% of Harvard's student body," or at least international students count for about 30% of Harvard's student body. So I expect this one to wind up in court, but that's the action that the DHS secretary is taking at this moment.
Okay, so my question up front when I heard this story is, what about Columbia University and some of these other universities that I know is just as bad as Harvard? I'm curious on that. That's number one. Number two, I'm not shocked that President Trump is doing this because, quite frankly, Harvard is on his S list, if that makes sense. And in regards to Democrats, you already know what they're saying. They say President Trump, once again, is being an authoritarian leader. He's acting like a king, and he's punishing people who are innocent. That's exactly what they're going to say. And how do I know that? Because here's a clip of them saying just that. Take a listen.
This decision that Harvard can no longer enroll foreign students and existing foreign students have to transfer or lose their legal status. What's your reaction to this?
Passively, feel extreme fatigue or have blurred vision.
Outrageous. It's another pattern of the Trump administration taking authoritarian actions. In the United States, the president does not have the power to punish people, target people for punishment because he doesn't like their politics. And he's targeting Harvard because he thinks he politically disagrees with them. It's a political vendetta. And he's doing this on the back of students who were admitted to Harvard from around the world for their merit, for things that they accomplished in life. And now he's trying to punish them, to hold them hostage, essentially, to try to win what he considers to be this political fight with Harvard. That's what authoritarians do. It's not done by the rule of law.
All right, so that's going to be the main talking point from the left, especially mainstream media. Okay, President Trump is punishing Harvard and nobody else. In fact, he's targeting innocent international students, and everything that he's doing is unlawful. That's the bottom line from them. But here's the flip side, and this is what the Trump administration is running with. Harvard has ignored repeated warnings from President Trump in regards to anti-Semitism, foreign influence, and visa-compliant violations. So if no university is above the law and they can't meet basic standards, then they shouldn't be allowed to bring in foreign nationals. And so this actually takes us to what Christy Noem had to say, because she went on Fox News to explain why she's doing this. Take a listen.
They have promoted and allowed violent activity on campus. They have allowed anti-Semitism, participation with CCP and Chinese infiltration and influence on their campus, and they haven't protected their students. So we have given them multiple opportunities to share criminal activity with us, backgrounds on these students, to let us conduct the oversight into this program that is our responsibility, and they have refused to do so. So today I sent them a letter that said they will no longer be allowed to participate in this student exchange visitor program, and that's up to 27% of their enrolled students. So it's significant. Any foreign student that wishes to get an education in this country that is attending Harvard and not participating in this criminal activity, they will have to find another university to go to, because Harvard has chosen instead to not protect their students and to allow this kind of violent and discriminatory action continue.
So as you if Harvard does not feel any pressure or is not threatened, what makes you believe they're ever going to change? They are the ones who fostered an environment that welcomes anti-Semitism. that has made parts of the campus unsafe, just like Columbia University. Now, all I'm asking for the Trump administration, if you're really going to do this, then do it. Go after Columbia University as well. Not just Harvard. And the fact of the matter is, this is going to be argued in the courts, and we're going to find out what's legal and what isn't.
You know, I want to make clear, too, in case anyone's wondering, well, why is it important to have international students on college campuses? Well, not only do they make up about 26-27% of the student body life there and at many universities in the U.S., international students pay full price. So they make it possible for American students from disadvantaged backgrounds to have an opportunity to come to schools like Harvard. So what's actually going to happen here is a lot of those international students are going to have options to go elsewhere. It is going to be underprivileged, marginalized Americans of all backgrounds who apply to schools like Harvard and then are unable to afford the opportunity to go there. So that's the impact here. It's actually us. We're going to be hurt if this really does end up following through.
Yeah, maybe you guys can help me with this, but how do you calculate that an international student who's paying full time is actually helping a student who does not pay full time and is disenfranchised? I'm trying to figure that math out in my mind. If you guys can do that, please let me know in the comments section. Now, let's go back to the facts here. The Department of Homeland Security possesses the legal authority to revoke a university's certification under the Student and Exchange Visitor Program, especially if they fail to comply with federal regulation. According to the U.S. Code, DHS can withdraw the certification for reasons including noncompliance with record keeping, reporting requirements, or failure to maintain eligibility standards. All right, and now we go to a bombshell report that was released today by RFK Jr. It is being titled the MAHA Report. It raises concerns about vaccines, American foods, and prescription drugs. And more importantly, the President of the United States hosted a meeting going over this report with the entire cabinet. Let's hear the president now. Take a listen.
4 months ago, I created the Presidential Commission to Make America Healthy Again, and today the commission officially delivers its first report on childhood health. Here are just some of the alarming findings, and they really are alarming. It's unbelievable, terrible. More than 40% of American children now have at least one chronic health condition. Since the 1970s, rates of childhood cancer have soared in many cases by nearly 50%, 50%. Well, in the 1960s, less than 5% of the children were obese. Now over 20% are obese. A few decades ago, think of this one. This is, to me, the one that gets me every time, and it seems to be getting worse. Just a few decades ago, 1 in 10,000 children had autism. Today, it's 1 in 31. Last time I heard that.
Wow, 1 in 31. That is what you would call a pandemic, I think, when it comes to autism in children. Folks, a lot of this has got to do with these vaccines. It's got to do with these vaccines, and then a lot of it's got to do with what's in the food, all the things they're putting in the food. Just unbelievable. All right. Susie in Massachusetts pledges 100. James in Illinois pledges 45. Thank you, Susie. Thank you, James. Okay. Those phone lines are open, folks, at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We have approximately 50 minutes left tonight to raise enough money to try to stay on all the stations and carry us through next month. Doug Burgum warns, whoever wins the AI race controls the world. Well, I got news for Doug. God controls the world, whether they like it or not. He does. He's on the throne, and he's in complete control. But I get where Doug's coming from. Doug Burgum, the soft-spoken Interior Secretary, responsible for managing the more than 507 million acres of federally owned land, is haunted by a fear that seems at first glance outside his mandate. He worries the free world will lose dominance in the field of artificial intelligence, and with it the future. So does the president. When President Trump declared a national emergency on his first day in office, it was in large part because of what we are facing with our electrical grid and making sure that we can get enough power to be able to win the AI arms race with China. You know, why Democrats, why they hate their own country? It's an amazing, why they want to destroy our country, but they do, okay? They want to destroy this nation. Look what they did in California with the fires. That was done on purpose. They did everything. They made sure the hydrants had no water. The brush was not cut back. It was like, you know, we're a part of that. It's whatever is the right thing to do, we'll do the opposite. That is what being a Democrat is today. Okay, he goes on to say that arms race with China. Burgum said Wednesday in remarks first reported by Real Clear Politics. That is absolutely critical. Thus, he stated the policy of his White House is called Drill Baby Drill. Trump said earlier this spring. I can understand where he's coming from, but he needs to know that God's on the throne and God's in complete control. What do you think?
Absolutely.
All right. We have Adam in New York pledges 100. Monica in Texas pledges 100. And Anonymous in Texas pledges 100. All righty, folks. Can you match the pledges for 100? Because tonight, everybody's pledging 100. That's all right. We just need about 60 or 70 of those 100 pledges, and we'll be okay for tonight.
All right.
But it wouldn't hurt to get a couple thousands. I do want to remind the folks this week that I pledged 1,000 Monday, 1,000 Tuesday, and 1,000 Wednesday, because you got to lead by example, and that's as much as I can do. But I thank all of you folks that have been supporting us all of these years out here. And, you know, we're still in this. And again, I can honestly say, folks, that we have never in all these years on air given less than our best. You're in the studio here, Randy. You know that we don't compromise, do we?
Absolutely not.
So, anyhow, I want to get back with a couple of articles here. Senate report. Oh, this is actually not news. This is news that Biden officials hid COVID jab side effects from public. What have we been telling you? Oh, my. A new U.S. Senate report released by Senator Ron Johnson yesterday asserts that Biden administration health officials knew about the risk of myocarditis from COVID-19 vaccines, but downplayed the concern and delayed informing the public about the risk of taking the jab. We talked about it day in and day out. And we're talking about, this is going back to, oh my, going back to when Biden, you know, just took office, you know, these things were happening and we were talking about it. He goes on to say, Fox News reports Johnson, chairman of the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, has been investigating the safety and efficacy of the COVID-19 vaccines. Earlier this year, he subpoenaed the Department of Health and Human Services for records relating to COVID-19 vaccine safety data, communications about the pandemic. I can tell you very clearly, there was nothing safe about those vaccines at all. In fact, I can tell you, they're not really vaccines. They're bioweapons.
That's right.
They were made as bioweapons, but the 55-page interim report states Biden administration officials withheld crucial health information from the subcommittee and the public. The report focuses on HHS awareness and response to cases of myocarditis, a type of heart inflammation following COVID-19 vaccinations. Johnson said the records he obtained contain evidence of the Biden administration's efforts to downplay and delay warning the public about the risks of myocarditis associated with mRNA COVID. We watched. How many athletes did we watch out there on a soccer field playing soccer, playing football, playing baseball? You watch these young, healthy, athletic guys dropping dead.
Yeah.
I was watching. There was a woman, and I'm trying to think if it was Holland. I think it was Holland. But anyhow, she was like the head of their Department of Health, and she came out and announced, you've seen this. This was like, you know, you talk about God having his hand on this. This was several years ago. She announced that she had just taken the shot, you know, because her job was to promote the shot, the kill shot. And she fell over and died. Right there. You talk about, God, you know, getting the message very clear across to him.
Yeah, yeah.
The report states that in May of 2021, officials initially considered issuing a formal warning about myocarditis, but decided against it. Well, yeah, the people were dropping dead left and right, but why warn them, right? Based on a subpoenaed record, the subcommittee has received to date, as well as public FOIA documents, this interim report will highlight records and presents a timeline showing U.S. health officials knew about the risk of myocarditis. Those officials downplayed the health concern, and health agencies delayed informing the public about the risk of the adverse events. We've seen some of the things that have happened there that are just amazing. You have these coroners have taken these long, like strange white, they almost look like latex or whatever,
yeah,
substance out of people. And it's just, they say it's the strangest, one of the strangest things they've ever seen out of people. We had that one guy, I'm trying to think of the lady's name that was on here, but she was a Democrat. And she was talking about how her patient's a doctor. She was totally against the kill shot, saying that her young female patients were bleeding to death. Gynecologists were bleeding to death. She said, and right now, as far as I know, it's well over 20 million people have died directly due to these shots. Many more people have died due to the shots than have died to the COVID. You're sure not hearing that on NBC, ABC, or CBS. Why? You know, they live in this country. Why do you think, it's like, they're the devil's children, I guess. What else can we say, right?
Yeah. And originally, it was supposed to be the one shot, and then they started saying, well, now you need the booster shots. And every time you take one of those booster shots, of course, the original was bad enough, but it weakens your immune system.
Yeah, we've had so much experience because we sent out so many articles on that, just, you know, telling you all the dangers of those kill shots, and we got so many letters back from people and calls from people. How many of them listened to their doctor, took the first shot, and the first shot almost killed them.
Mm-hmm.
And even after that, they were told, maybe you should take the second shot. Unbelievable. And so,
yeah,
here you go. Representative Comer calls for questioning those who might have been de facto presidents. they're saying that Joey Biden might not have been calling all the shots there. What do you think about that?
I think he was incoherent. He definitely was out of it.
Alrighty. Joanne, yeah, from New York pledges 1,000. Thank you, Joanne. Now, here's what we got to do. I asked for a pledge for 1,000. We could use it. Can we get some matches for Joanne? Can we get some matches for Joanne for New York for 1,000? Or we'll take a bunch more matches for Monica or Anonymous or James for that 100. But normally, by this time, we have a couple 500s, but we haven't had a 500. But praise the good Lord, Joanne, for that 1,000. Can we get some matches? We got approximately 40 minutes left tonight to raise enough to try to stay on all the stations. And here, former President Joe Biden's mental decline during his term has been under the media spotlight. We see it in Jack Tapper and Axios Alex Thompson's releasing a new book detailing his struggles. You know, why didn't Jack Tapper tell the truth to begin with? He knew the difference, and he didn't tell the truth. And so with the Republicans demanding accountability from Democrats, after all of this stuff started, it was obvious, and then Jack Tapper changes his tune, who they say covered for Biden. Fox host Jesse Waters asked Comer, whom he plans to subpoena first, so this would be interesting. And, we're going to request that four staffers that we have identified as the main gatekeepers for the Biden regime, and they come and answer our questions. We're also requesting that Dr. Kevin O'Connor come. That's the first step towards a subpoena, Comer said. You know, I mean, his doctor, you know, he should have been the one to come out. Of course, I know you've got that medical privacy, but boy, I'm going to tell you, we're talking, he put the whole country in danger by having a guy in office who's half the time he's in la-la land. He can't remember where he's at. He was telling that Orr that he can't remember being vice president. That's not good.
No.
And now there's a lot of pressure to go after Joe Biden, you know, for elderly abuse, because she was basically keeping him out there. She wanted to stay in that White House, and she actually said she needed to be able to fly in Air Force One. And here, he goes on to say, in addition to concerns over Biden's mental health, his office released a statement Sunday saying he had been diagnosed with a more aggressive form of prostate cancer, which has already metastasized to the bone. Waters asked the lawmakers to name the four former staffers he wants questioned. Well, there are no names that anyone that normally watches Fox would know, Comer said. They're behind the scenes. They fly under the radar. These are the unelected bureaucrats that we believe had an overwhelming influence over Joe Biden and could have possibly been serving as de facto president of the United States. Somebody was doing all those evil things, weren't they?
Yeah.
In fact, do you know, Biden said he doesn't know anything at all about those flying people in the middle of the night in those airplanes, you know, all night flying all those thousands and thousands and thousands of... he said he didn't know anything about that. He said he He said he was told that the border was secure. What do you think about that? I don't believe him. What do you think?
Definitely not. Well, we know the border wasn't secure.
Well, I know, but do you believe that Biden thought it was, that they had convinced him that it was secure? Because he kept saying that the border was secure. Of course, Mary Arcus, as we watched thousands and literally millions of people coming across, and you have Mary Arcus on there saying the border is secure. In other words, who are you going to believe, us Democrats or your lying eyes, right?
Yeah. I just don't know what to say about his mental state.
Michigan pledges 25. And Rose in Illinois pledges 50. Thank you, thank you. Again, those phone numbers are, the credit card line is 888-281-1110. Can we get a match for Joanne's 1,000? Can we get a $1,000 match for Joanne? 888-281-1110. We had a lady call and the office and say, I only have $50 to donate. Is that enough? Yes. $5 is enough. $10, whatever you can do. But now, we don't want you sending us your grocery money. We don't want you sending us your rent money. You got to take care of home first. But whatever you can afford, just to keep us on those stations you're listening, if you want to. If you think that what we bring you, the news that we bring you is that we've done a yeoman's job as watchmen on the wall, which we've been doing for 50 years, and this is why the opposition does not like us very much at all. So, all right, he goes on to say, the very first step to a successful subpoena is to offer someone an invitation, a sincere request to come in and answer questions. If they do not, the next step will be the subpoenas. I agree with everything that the last person said about subpoenas, except the special counsel, Gohmert, said, I think that we can do that in Congress. We're going to bring these people in for depositions and described interviews, and we're going to ask every question that a good journalist like yourself, Jesse, would ask. The American people want to know this. The momentum's on our side. New evidence has emerged just in the last few days, and I think all eyes will be watching this new investigation by the House Oversight Committee. Republicans voiced concern about Biden's mental decline before he even entered the 2020 race. Those concerns increased during Biden's time in the White House as he was seen in video stumbling around and struggling to speak. Democrats and media pundits dismissed the criticisms. Former White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre notably labeled the clips cheap fakes. In other words, she said those what you see with your own eyes, those aren't real. It's your eyes. Well, they're playing tricks on you. That's what it is, yes. Details from Tapper's and Thompson's book have again placed Biden's presidency under scrutiny, revealing that at one point his health declined so severely that his aides discussed putting him in a wheelchair. And this brings you back, too, because now another thing Trump is doing, is he's going to go after here it is. Trump's rolling out new tool to stop non-citizens from hijacking U.S. elections. Again, that's just a part of it, having these illegals voting over and over and over again. That's just a part of it. The Democrats, and we've said this, they cannot win an election without election fraud. They can't. And there's been so much election fraud. Again, I want to remind you, and this is not just the Democrats. I was when Brett Baer when Brett Baer said there was no evidence that, you know, of election fraud, after we sat there and watched the numbers invert, when we watched Trump was 12 million votes ahead, 12 million across the country, and to watch those numbers invert from upside down, and folks, I wasn't the only one who saw it. A lot of people right away called, did you see that? Yeah, I saw it, okay. And they're telling us what we didn't see it. And to have Brett Baer come out now, one of the ladies, I think it was the woman that ran for Senate in Arizona, having one of those moments right now, but she really went loose on Brett Baer and nailed him. And so he lost me when he did that, when he pulled that shenanigans. And so, all right, 888-281-1110. That's credit card line. Or 888-677-9673. We'll be back right after this with more.
Welcome to God's world.
To God's world.
Won't you come on in?
Come on in.
Miracles start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart. Crucified.
And that's right, it was for you and I, folks, that he died that horrible, awful death. And we best not forget it. I know he hasn't, right? Hey, we're going to Bill in New Jersey pledges 50. Thank you, Bill. Yeah, we have 25 minutes left, and I'm glad because I want to get to bed. Anyhow, it's I think it's more than a coincidence that this thing hit McTurner and I at the same time. Something we've talked about tonight. I know something that we either have talked about. I'm not sure what it is, but could be everything or something we may yet be talking about. Yeah. The opposition didn't want people to hear, huh?
That's right. That's right. Pastor, on the 93 billion. Maybe if we can get one of these people to call in that took some of this 93 billion, we'd have this paid off.
Yeah. Yep.
It says a Senate Appropriations Committee hearing revealed the Department of Energy handed out a whopping $93 billion to various entities with no oversight or accountability during the 76-day transition of power between the 2024 election and President Donald Trump's inauguration. It says, questioning Secretary of Energy Chris Wright on Wednesday, Senator John Kennedy asked, Mr. Secretary, I want to go back to some of your earlier testimony to be sure I heard it correctly. The 76-day period you're talking about, that's the period between the time that President Trump was elected and President Biden left office. And during that short period of time, 76 days, how much taxpayer money went out the door from the Department of Energy? From the Loan Program Office in loans and commitments, $93 billion, Secretary Wright responded, well over twice as much as in the previous 15 years. There are lots of funds that have gone out the door and commitments that were made from businesses that provided no business plan, no numbers about their own financial solvency or how this project is going to work, Wright later added. So you're telling me the Department of Energy in the 76-day period before the boss was going to leave office gave out loan money to entities and had no business plan, Senator Kennedy asked. That's correct, Wright replied. No financials, Kennedy asked. Correct, replied the energy secretary, adding a number of those were not before the 76-day period as well. And after establishing the energy department was loaning billions of free taxpayer money to entities with less than half baked ideas, Senator Kennedy hammered home the dire situation. It's rare that I'm speechless, but I want to be sure I understand the people running the Department of Energy for President Biden's administration shoveled $93 billion, not million, but $93 billion out the door in 76 days. And it just happened to be the time between when President Trump was elected and President Biden, their boss was leaving. Wow.
Now, suppose, do you, that maybe those four people that Congressman Comer mentioned, and maybe... Now, old Joe is probably out of it. You know, they have a drug that they can give you, but they can't keep giving it too often. But it could bring your mind back, waking you up for temporarily. But you don't suppose that Joe's wife. And those other four, possibly more, thought, what a way, because you know, they're not giving all that stuff away without getting kickbacks. I mean, that's just how everything works in D.C. And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
Just think about that. Was it $93 billion? Did you say
$93 billion? That's what Senator Kennedy had to ask a number of times. Are you? I want to get this right. Not 93 million, 93 billion in 76 days.
Just imagine if they had just 1% of that put on the Cayman Islands, these offshore banks, you know, transferred to it from these big corporations. Just think of how well you can live by splitting, say, $1 billion four ways. Mm. Yep. Well, we'll see if the House, you know, gets in. Well, hopefully some investigations will take place. All right, we have Anthony in Texas pledges 200. Thank you, Anthony. And Arlene in Illinois pledges 50. Thank you, Arlene. Okay. We're going to be coming up. Here I've got to, I mentioned before, the Citizenship and Immigration Services in the USCIS is updating the systematic alien verification for entitlements, or called SAVE program, and partnering with the Social Security Administration to ensure a single reliable source of verifying immigration status and U.S. citizenship, according to the memo exclusively shared with Daily Caller News. Look, here, we know that Biden brought in over 20 million illegals. Now, just say if just one half of those voted. And now think about the ones that would vote. They would vote many times, okay? Again, the Democrats, where it comes to election fraud, they're to election fraud what Muhammad Ali was to boxing and Elvis to rock and roll, folks. That's what they're good at, okay? And so, but that's why Trump said it had to be, he had to win. It had to be too big to rig, too big to rig this time. And it was too big to rig. And so here, he goes on to say that administration order to ensure a single reliable source for verifying immigration status and U.S. citizenship, according to the memo exclusively shared with the Daily Caller New Foundation, under the update, state and local officials will be able to input Social Security numbers for verification of U.S. citizens and thereby prevent foreign nationals from voting in American elections. For years, states have pleaded for tools to help identify and stop. You know, and again, a lot of these people, like, you know, Harvard, we were talking about Harvard. Harvard thought, well, you know, how dare you? You know, when they brought all of those people into Harvard, you know, they lower their standards and whatever. And, you know, they're getting all of that foreign money to bring these people in, too, just to give them virtually sell a Harvard scholarship. You know, somewhere along the line, it looks like, and we're seeing with this, that with Trump, he's, in so many areas, he's bringing legitimacy back to America. And that's what we've been lacking for a long time, legitimacy. All right, California pledges 100. Thank you, Carol. Amen. And so, 888-281-1110, that's the credit card line. And 888-677-9673. I'm going to ask you to go ahead, Randall, and give an invitation, but also remember to ask the folks out there to pray with you tonight and for so many people that are unsaved. And also, you know, for this ministry that we get the money to stay on the air. Don't forget, you know, we haven't heard from Pastor Joe ever since those storms came through there in Missouri. I'm really concerned about him. Because normally, you know, you would have thought, since we can't contact him, he could have gone to a place, you know, where he could call out if he's okay. We're hoping he's okay. And so try to remember to pray for that, and also that we get the funds we need to stay on the stations. But go ahead and do it, Randy.
Amen, amen. Listen, tonight, whoever you might be, if you don't know the Lord in the pardoning of your sins, this is not a light thing. The Bible declares that hell hath enlarged itself. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that God loves you so much that he did. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for your sins. There is no other atonement that could be made except for the shedding of that precious blood that can wash away your sins. And maybe you've been hurt going to church. I don't know, but I want you to know, don't gamble with your life. Don't gamble, because this is going to be an eternal state that you will be in, whether it is with the Lord in heaven or whether it is in actually the lake of fire, because hell and death are going to be delivered over into the lake of fire. And God says, listen, mankind blew it going all the way back to the garden, but he made a way of redemption through Jesus Christ that you don't have to go there. And the Lord is making an offer to you tonight. Satan, so many times he comes and of course he makes his offer, and he offers the world, he offers pleasure, he offers, as the Bible says, there's only actually three things in the world that most people are fighting with, and that's the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are the three things that are in the world, and up under that umbrella you can find just about every sin or that you could find. But listen, the gift of God is eternal life. And I'm reminded of Deuteronomy, and it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So before us today is death and life. God is not going to force you. He encourages us to choose life. Again, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross. But God is not forcing anybody. But if you will hear his voice, he said, my sheep, they hear my voice. And you need to understand, the Bible says that God loves us so much, he will leave. There's a story about him leaving actually the 99 sheep and going after the one that got lost. And so that's the type of love that God has. And if that's you tonight, you're lost. You don't have that blessed assurance that Jesus is yours. You may have heard about God, you may have heard about Jesus, but you really haven't given your heart. Why don't you do that today? Because the Lord is making that offer to you. I'm setting before you life. Please choose life. Please choose life. Please choose life. Because it's going to be too late once we cross over on the other side. You have to make that choice now. You have to make that choice for Christ now on this side. And so if that's you, understand. And anyone else, know that Matthew 24 says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known at what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So rather the Lord comes back, rather we're looking for the rapture, understand this, there is an appointed day. We all have a date with death. And when death comes knocking, you can't tell that date or death that I'm not going on this date. We are. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then after this is the judgment. And so understand, that is a date that all of us will have to go on if the rapture doesn't take place. But either way, we have to cross over and we have to see him. So tonight, if you could say with me, pray with me, and accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you can have that security, that assurance tonight that Jesus is yours. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved. If that's you tonight, won't you pray with me? Father God, we know that you are in control. You're sovereign. You're in control. Satan may be the prince of the power of the air, but Lord God, we know that you are sovereign. You are King of kings. You are Lord of lords. And we know that despite what he tries to do in terms of interruption on the airways, Lord God, you already said that your sheep, they hear your voice. And so, Father God, we call on you and we ask you tonight, Lord God, to hear those tonight that are saying that, you know what, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. I am asking for that blood atoning work of Jesus Christ, what you did on the cross, dying on the cross and being raised again on the third day, sitting right now at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions. I am asking you, Lord Jesus, to please come into my heart, to forgive me, to wash away my sin, Lord God, and to take your rightful place, Lord God, in my heart, and let me eternally, Lord God, be able to spend that eternity with you. Father, please forgive me for all of my sin. I repent, Lord God, of my evil works, of my evil actions. And Father God, we thank you, Lord God, right now for those that have prayed that prayer tonight. We don't need to make it complicated. You already paid the cost on the cross for our sins. And so, God, we just want to thank you for that. And Father, we're also reminded again, we want to lift up Pastor Joe tonight, Lord God. Again, we are just praying that we will get a phone call soon that he is okay, Father God. We are praying, Lord God, for those that were injured, those that are in the hospital. We are praying. Obviously, we know that there's a problem with communication and various things down here. We're praying for Pastor Joe and those that are affected down there, Lord God, that the help that they need, Lord God, that they would receive that help, Lord God, that this wouldn't be like the Carolina situation, Lord God. We know that we have a president in there that cares about the people, and we pray that, again, whether it's FEMA, whoever it is, that the necessary helps will be available to get people back up on their feet. And Father God, we, again, want to remember John McTernan. We want to remember Pastor, Lord God. Please give him traveling mercies, even as he has to travel home, Lord God. Cover him and strengthen him. It's as he said, greater is he that is in him than he that is in the world.
1 minute.
Father God, continue. We ask to touch the hearts of the people, Lord God, to give tonight, Lord God. And we thank you and give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks. I want to wish all the folks out there a blessed Memorial Day and a very, very safe Memorial Day. And when you go in there, think about this as we remember those that went before us, and, you know, to many that they're talking about, you know, the military vets. Remember, there was one Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Captain of the Host, and that's the Lord. We're out of time for tonight again, so with that, we want to say, again, have a blessed, blessed, and a safe Memorial Day, and good night.
Good night.
We want to say God bless to you all.
God bless.
And then we always just want to say, and as we always do, always, 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 and I do mean always, ready?
Keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.